All right, I'm gonna go ahead and call us to order for our February, no, March, April, where are we? April 6th, pre-council, 2026. We've got one item under open, and then we have a few items under closed. So our first one is our McKinney Building feasibility study. So I'm gonna kick this over to Amy Schneider.
Sure, so thank you. Today we're presenting the McKinney feasibility study for your review. The study was previously shared with the mayor's task force on February 27th, and it represents an important early step in what's going to be a much longer process. I want to emphasize this is a feasibility study, not the final design. It's the beginning of an undertaking that will likely evolve with different configurations, priorities, and faces shaped by space limitations and funding. As a reminder, the mayor's task force was appointed in January of 24 and worked throughout that year, finalizing a comprehensive report in October and presenting that to the council in December of 24. Once that work was done, the task force report was provided to SOA Architecture, and that served as the foundation for the study that you'll see today. The task force provided thoughtful and detailed feedback when the feasibility study was presented to them in February, including ideas such as increasing flexibility in the multi-purpose room through features like retractable doors, exploring opportunities to expand or enhance that space, ensuring adequate soundproofing for daytime events, and maintaining the historic integrity of the building's exterior. They also raised important operational considerations, including space needs for the Office of Cultural Affairs and opportunities for improved wayfinding and signage. As you'll see, the study identifies existing building deficiencies that will need to be addressed as part of any renovation. These realities, combined with the building's relatively small footprint of approximately 7,800 square feet, require careful balancing of priorities. Overall, we believe SOA Architecture has done a strong job of reflecting the intent of the task force vision while working within those constraints. So with that, I'll let Jen Hedrick, president of SOA Architecture, walk you through the feasibility study.
Awesome, thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. As long as you have the microphone near you because you speak very softly.
I'll do better, Betsy.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going to take you through a presentation here that basically summarizes the steps that we went through. If you have any questions or anything is not clear during that time, just don't hesitate to stop me. So as Amy indicated, basically we analyzed the building for compliance first, and then we also looked at a building program, so identifying the space needs of the building based on that mayor's task force study. We developed a design and we came up with a realistic budget for implementing those. As far as the multi-purpose program goes, we looked very specifically at social gatherings, performance space, education space, and rotating exhibit space. But that is not to suggest that those are the limiting factors. The goal with the project or the goal with the programmatic uses was that it would be as flexible as possible for even things not imagined today. And Amy, you did a good job of clarifying where we are in the process, but this is how a typical project goes through from pre-design at the beginning all the way through post-occupancy, and you can see where we're at here. So we don't have details figured out. We have big picture ideas and vision incorporated, but as far as getting into the weeds, we would get into the weeds in this portion of the project and we are not there yet. So just keeping that in mind, and I appreciate that you mentioned that off the bat. The very first thing we looked at really was looking at the building, regardless of function, we looked at it more for compliance issues, and we found that there were various deficiencies within the building. On the left-hand side there, you can see the first floor plan, and on the right-hand side, the second floor plan. For context, this is Broadway Street right here. This is Second Baptist Church right here. This is that space in the back, and there's that garage in the back. This is Plaza Tire on the right side. So as far as deficiencies go, the very first deficiency that we identified was ADA accessibility. There is no way inside the building right now from an ADA accessibility standpoint. As far as getting from the first floor to the second floor, right now there is no elevator. So we're proposing the addition of an elevator. And then restrooms, marginally compliant, although the restrooms have a lot of issues associated with plumbing issues, freezing pipes, that sort of thing. So really we've looked at ADA accessibility, and then safe exiting was another issue that we found with the building. So although it had two staircases, neither of them were enclosed with fire ratings, neither of them were compliant as far as the size, shape, or configuration of those. So as we look at a new configuration in the building, we're suggesting new entrance with ADA accessibility ramp, new stairs to connect the upstairs and the downstairs, again, an elevator connecting the upstairs and the downstairs, adding a stair tower to the back, which would be that second way out of the building, and then you can see ADA accessible restrooms. We'll get a little bit more into the floor plan, but just regardless of what goes in the building, these are compliance issues that would need to be addressed. The other thing, I missed that on here, but we also identified structural integrity issues with regard to the building. This is the southwest, on the far left there's the southwest corner of the building. Might be hard to see, but right there. That's a cast iron column, and it has split. And upon splitting, then all of this has started to really move quite substantially. So we've had structural engineers assessing the building. You can tell right now when you go by that we have it quarantined off in that area because it still continues to pose a threat. We have incorporated, it's hard to see in this photo, but we've incorporated shoring and have stabilized the structure. So today the interior of the structure is stabilized. What is not stabilized is this facade right here, which is the west facade. There's quite a bit of what I'm gonna call undulation. So that masonry veneer wall has places where it is literally going in and out, and that is suggesting a structural failure. And that is why we still have that area roped off or fenced off right now. The long-term fix for that facade is removal and reconfiguration, rebuilding of that entire wall. So that's not a small feat. But as far as where we're at right now, the city has in place some datums. They took very exact measurements of where it's coming in, where it's coming out, and they're looking at those on a very regular basis. I'm not sure exactly what the monitoring of that is, but it is in place. Do you remember?
Monthly.
So they're literally reshooting those shots just to see if there's any movement, and that would tell us that we need to do something different besides the fencing that is around there right now. As far as other exterior improvements, so you can start to see right there along Broadway.
Yeah, Nick, please, Nick.
Going back to the efficiency there, if it's found to be dangerous or structurally an issue, then are there ways to address that that are economical, or can it be fixed if we're having ongoing issues?
It can be fixed, and we had several conversations about whether or not we kind of separate the project into two projects, where we have more of a building stabilization effort and then wait for the programmatic changes to the building to occur later. We could certainly do that, but that's gonna increase the cost substantially. What we'd prefer to do, if funds can be made available within a reasonable amount of time, is have that be one continuous project where we're taking down and rebuilding that wall at the same time that we're making the interior modifications that we need to be made. But at the moment at which we determine, or it is determined, that there is movement and no one's comfortable with it just remaining as it is, then that project would have to be pulled out as a separate project.
So at this point, it's stable enough to move forward with the other idea?
Yes. And again, with that monthly monitoring, I think that we're in a good place to just see what happens with it. I think that they'll be able to identify the movement that would suggest some different approach. I think the challenge with that is, how long is Second Baptist Church gonna be amenable to having that fenced off? And that was one of the comments that was made during the Mayor's Task Force presentation, was a frustration with that, and that's a observation garden space, but they use it for thoughtful prayer, that sort of thing, and right now they can't use it for that. So just to be acknowledged. And right now, when we look at the budgetary, when we get to the budget slide, that has it assuming that it's all one large project done at one time. If we were to look at separating that out into a structural stabilization project and then the improvements to the interior, that would increase the cost. Because again, it's two contracts and mobilization and all of the things that would occur. It's just a lot easier if we can do it all at one time, if we could. So as far as the other exterior improvements, again, we'll talk a little bit more about this ramp here, but basically you can see that rebuilding of the west wall, little elevator shaft poking through there, and there's that new stair tower addition in the back. Exterior enhancements, what we've looked at for this front facade here is replacing windows, replacing storefront, and really trying to maintain the overall look of what is there today. There were discussions about historic context and whether or not we're preserving that or bringing it back. And that's a kind of a tricky question, because if we look at the course of the building throughout its life, there were several points of history that would suggest a different exterior. But I think everyone with the mayor's task force felt pretty good about trying to put it back to approximately what we see it in today, just more updated materials. So as far as the exterior, this is some closer up pictures here of this ADA ramp. You can see here, this is Plaza Tire with the green awning. This is that ramp, and there's the new entrance. The ADA ramp, the width of it that's required for accessibility really starts to push out into the sidewalk. So in this particular scenario here, we've shown a planter, we've taken out four parking spaces so that we can have the ramp and then circulate around the ramp. So you can see that in the front there. So there's where those four parking spaces would be removed. And then this is coming up the other direction. There's that green Plaza Tire awning for perspective, but then on the other side we would have steps that would go up. And the other thing that I think is nice about this planter and a little seating space is that when there would be an event, a performance, somewhere where there's a larger gathering, it does provide a little bit of buffer space and queuing for people going into the building or people that are exiting the building before and after any larger activity or event. So from that perspective, I think it works very nicely, just again to give a little bit more buffer space there.
It's hard to tell from the perspective of the drawing. Is there seating space built into the planter?
There is. Let me. I can't really zoom in, but this is a person sitting. So right now, we'll be able to look at it on a floor plan. It's almost like a U shape, so that one side of it, we do have a bench seated across there.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Thanks.
You can kind of see right there, you can see, and right there, you can see a little bit.
And we have a protected crosswalk. Is that like just a block path?
Yeah, at the end of that block.
So right there is that bench, that's that person.
I like that location, thanks.
And there you can, that's where you can really start to see where those four parking spaces are eliminated to incorporate that. And that, what you see, that black rectangle is actually the awning above the ramp, not the ramp itself. Yeah. This is the edge of the ramp right here, this wall right there. So this is where that AD accessible wheelchair turning radius would be. And you can see the edge of that is roughly in line with the sidewalk. So there would be no way to incorporate AD accessibility with a ramp and maintain the existing sidewalk. So that really suggests that we're going to have to go down, out, and around to accommodate that. So as far as the two floor plans, again, this is the first floor plan on the left and the second floor plan on the right. We enter here off of Broadway. We would have a exhibit area here, which would also be a vestibule. And then you would come through here, a reception counter here, large multi-purpose space here. All of this lobby hallway area could be used for exhibits, either fixed or rotating. There's that elevator there, a catering kitchen back here, and then our AD accessible restrooms in the back. And we can see that egress stair there. So that's what connects the first and second floors for safe exiting from the second floor. When we look at the second floor, let's take the stair up and up, and when we land up here, then here in this southeast corner, we have the Office of Cultural Affairs. We have on the southwest corner, we have public classroom space here, public conference room, storage, mechanical. These are mechanical and mechanical spaces for all of the mechanical units that would be serving. And then these are restroom spaces here. Some of the storage here is, there you go, that storage right there would be identified possibly for cultural affairs storage. Excuse me, and that was one of the discussions that we had with the mayor's task force, was if there are other options for storage of cultural affairs materials so that we can use that for more programmatic space. So just sharing that comment with you. Those are just more floor plans of the same, but you can start to see again how those are laid out. Probably nothing more really to point out with these, other than I guess I will point out this wall right here was, we had quite a bit of conversation about this wall here. Right now we're showing that as a fixed wall, but it was suggested in the meeting, and I really like the idea of it, that we would have more of an operable partition, very similar to this wall that separates these two spaces. And then if we did that, you could see if we could really open that up, then for certain events, that would allow that whole entire lobby and multi-purpose space to be opened up more for larger events and different activities. So that was, it's not currently reflected in the drawings, but that was one of the main discussion points. These are some concepts, some interior renderings of how we might propose the interior to look. So if we come down, let's go down to this left corner here. That's the entrance doors off of Broadway. Again, a receptionist area. Those are the doors into that multi-purpose space. This right here is that wall that we've talked about maybe being more of an operable partition wall. This is the corridor, and back there are those restrooms. That's that corner right there is that catering kitchen right there. So this right here is approximately what you would see coming through that front door. There's those stairs that would take you upstairs. Again, a reception landing area, elevator doors, and that left wall would be that potentially that operable partition there. So you can see if this were operable and we were able to open that up wide, then this space would become part of that larger space. Similar, again, entry doors. That would be that operable partition wall. There's those stairs that take you upstairs.
Jen, can I ask
absolutely.
On this? I mean, you know, I know we're in the schematic design phase. We're not in the programmatic space yet. But was there any conversation around kind of limiting, this is more public space and upstairs is more private, and so kind of secure, you know what I mean, like secure entrances to it? I don't know if that was any of the conversation.
We talked about that, especially during the design process, and right now there are no restrictions between the upstairs and the downstairs areas. Part of the challenge that we have is that we have two ways out, this way here and this way. This open stair here is a means of egress. So if we gated it off at the top, which we could do, then we would still have to allow exit from the upstairs to the downstairs. But right now we have left it totally open.
Okay. Done.
Again, acknowledging this is early on, is a catering kitchen, is a vision for that right now to be more of like a full-scale commercial production kitchen, or just somewhere they can bring the food in, keep it safe, and then serve it? Okay.
The goal of the catering kitchen would be that no food is prepared in this space. This is a warming kitchen or a storage kitchen. So the thought would be that a catering van might pull up back here, come through here, deliver there, and then there might be some type of an overhead coiling window to put pre-prepared food. So nothing prepared on site.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for asking that. This is the multi-purpose performance space, and really multi-purpose is the key to this. Going back to the potential for operable partition wall, this is that wall that we would talk about. But for scale and just purposes of visualization, This is the room we are in right now. There's the curved wall right behind us there. I'm sitting somewhere around here. Kind of give you perspective. So you can see this gray box right here. That is the size of this space up here, just for visualization of that.
That is really useful. Good job. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Well done, designer.
And this just shows a couple of ways that we could lay the space out. We just really wanted to look at, again, maximization of space. When we initiated the project, we thought about having more of an elevated platform, some type of a low stage, and the more we talked about that, we realized that would be a limiting factor going forward, so we removed that. What we're indicating here with these little wiggly lines would be maybe some type of curtaining if we wanted to be able to designate certain areas more of like a performance, but then you can see over on this side, we've got all training tables facing one way, and you can see the curtains would just be rolled around and tucked out along the wall. This is just wide open space. You can see this space here with more of like an round banquet tables. And then this is just more open seating without any tables. So again, just wanted to really look at the different options for maximizing flexibility for this space. These are some renderings of the upstairs. This right here, there's the top of the stairs coming up from the lower level. This is the Office of Cultural Affairs. You can see we've incorporated quite a bit of glass so that they could be enclosed during off hours. That space could be access controlled. But from a visual standpoint and just from a welcoming standpoint, we incorporated quite a bit of glass in there. That door right there is to a break room. That door right there is to the classroom. This is the top of the stairs right here. So this is what you would see. That's the elevator door right there. These two views here of the conference room upstairs. And then these are of the classroom upstairs. So again, showing three different floor plans of the same space just to show different ways that those tables and chairs could be configured to use it in a variety of different purposes. I didn't point out on the last one, but we did note how many people on here. We've looked at these round tables, about 42 people over here, wide open space around 100 people, training style around 38 people, and then performance space around 48. So just to get a feel for the size and use of those different spaces. This is just pointing out a few more of the interior finishes. Right now, again, very preliminary, but we were suggesting some warm neutral palette that really would enable a large variety of different exhibits, whether those be fixed or traveling. And then again, warm wood tones here, some type of, for the windows, we would have some type of blackout curtains so that if we are having a performance, we could close that off. And then other places, basically just very neutral finishes. We would replace all of the windows with high efficiency windows. It's probably about all there. So as far as the total project cost, right now we're identifying around $5.3 million, and that was in December of 2025. Keep in mind that for each year that passes, we would have escalation factors that would increase that. But you can see the majority of the cost is still, 40% of that cost is in the interior remodel, and about 21% is in that structural repairs, and about 21% HVAC plumbing. So this, all of the HVAC system, plumbing, and electrical systems would be removed and replaced with new. They're not in a condition that they can be reused. Stair and elevators, 11%, and then you can see other little slivers of space, but that's the overall. So when we talk about construction costs, we're looking at about $4 million, and then owner's cost around 1.2. So let's clarify owner's cost. It's all owner's cost, right? When we talk about construction cost, if you think about the building and you think about turning it upside down and shaking it, If it falls out of the building, it's not part of construction. So chairs, tables, microphones, computers, you name it. If it's part of construction, you turn the building upside down and you shake it, it's not going to fall out. So this is what I'm going to call kind of a catch-all category right now. But when we look at those spaces, part of what makes that multi-purpose space effective is different types of furniture are really what's going to make those spaces effective. We also talked about having maybe risers for temporary staging or platforms, those kinds of things. So those are just some things to keep in mind. And I guess that's really the end. What other questions do you have?
So I think probably a big question we have is more for probably DeCarlin. You know, because this is obviously, you're trying to get like the schematic, our feedback, a little bit of feedback on that. But I imagine a lot of our questions are probably more around like what's next, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
What do we do for the business plan for it, the programming plan, the fundraising for it, all of that. So I wanted to give you an opportunity before we ask, because unless you're, any of your alls is related to the schematic kind of, but if it's, I feel like a lot of it is more probably what's next. If it's related to this, ask it now.
Yes.
Okay, hit it. And then DeCarlin, prepare yourself.
The one thing on the floor plan I didn't see you talk about was the wellness room. If you could talk about that at all. Where is that?
Right there. So wellness room is for lactating mothers primarily. Sometimes we call them lactation rooms, but it has a slightly expanded scope. So that might be a space where a person has a migraine. They just need a chance to have a few minutes to kind of gather themselves. They have a difficult interaction with a coworker, they have a difficult interaction with a member of the community, that sort of thing. It's a space to be able to go collect themselves. But as far as that particular wellness room right there, it does have a small countertop with a sink, and the thought would be that it could be for lactation as well as other uses.
This is very much cart before the horse conversation at this stage. But one thing I always advocate for when people are talking about wellness rooms or lactation rooms is the inclusion of safe syringe disposal for people who may need to take medications throughout the day. Typically we see those installed in bathrooms, which is not a fun place to give yourself a shot if you've ever had to. And so the wellness room would be much more hospitable for that.
Perfect, thank you.
Any other questions on the program? Yeah.
Was there any discussion about the inclusion in the ADA bathrooms of like an adult changing table?
There was no discussion about that.
I just want to bring that up because sometimes those aren't included in discussions and those are very much needed in our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other questions on the layout? Yeah, I was just going to say, I appreciate the flexibility and the figuring out how to have a flexible space into this. I imagine part of this, when you talk about the flexibility, we'll probably get into in like two more phases from now when it gets into the how would it operationally be used, so that if we have like rentable space, some of these are used by, you know, community, some are used by staff or whatever it is. So I'm assuming that is kind of coming up next. Did you have something else to that?
My other thing on it, I love the combination of the bathrooms with multiple stalls and the single stall bathrooms. I think those are inclusive for so many reasons for people in our community, and so love that you have both options.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to your thoughts on kind of the next steps and things? Like, I know part of it is that you need direction from council, or is it you have a plan for kind of the next steps?
Well, I think that's the first step, is the more of direction from council. So the idea is...
The ears kind of, on?
I don't think so.
Here.
There it is. Okay. It's green now. So the idea is to actually talk about if this is the direction the council wants us to go. So this is, and the next step is for us to talk about what is the programming of this building look like. One of the things we know is there's a lot of nonprofits that are looking for space for to be able to hold events or to teach a class. And so if that becomes our process, you know, how do we program that and what do we charge for it and what does that look like? There are going to be some demands for free. There's going to be some demands where you look at, well, what should the cost be and how do you escalate that. So that's something that staff will have to look at, is designing what that actually looks like. The other part is when we look at the cost of the building, how do we do this and what does that look like? Now, we are applying for some state and federal grants. That's not going to be enough. We'll have to come up with a fundraising plan. We'll have to come up with a process in order to kind of get us there. And so those are some of the next steps that need to be developed. The first part is, are we going in the right direction? If we are going in the right direction, then we need to figure out how do we program and how do we pay for it.
Feedback from council on that. Yeah, Don.
Would the Office of Cultural Affairs be the ones that would be administering the operation?
Yes, that would be the idea. That's the whole point of actually having them there is we'd have staff there to actually operate and administer whatever programs we have.
Other feedback to, yeah, Jackie?
More of a process question. So in the development of this, historically or just the process, do you look at programming at the same time you look at financing, or do you make sure you have the money before you decide what program you're going to offer?
I think you do a little bit of both. I mean, what we know in this community that if we base our financing on what we think we're going to get from programming it, I don't think we'll be able to do it. But that needs to be a component of it. But I think we have to look at it through both lenses.
I think we probably have a better idea of what programming we'd like to see versus how we're going to pay for it.
Absolutely.
Nick, grab the microphone, please.
Really just a curiosity, how is that garage space going to be used? I think in my mind when we first started talking about this, I imagined it just being gone.
I think, Shane, I'm going to kind of lean on you a little bit. You guys are using that now.
The garage,
you need the microphone
itself,
Shane.
Yes, that's where... we're using the garage now. That's where facility maintenance has all of our snow equipment and things like that. So we're using that currently. It needs some work even for using it for that, but it's easier access than what we've had in the past. So we appreciate being able to use it. If there was a desire to program that in some different way or do something different, we'd have to find some other space, but we're going to use it.
Other questions for staff? Yeah, Val.
Do any of the structural improvements relate to the garage in any sort of specific way?
Yes. There's a portion of the garage roof that has deteriorated due to water infiltration. So the budget does currently incorporate. Trying to see if we've got it. We probably don't really have it. There it is, right there. 1%, so approximately $36,000. The cost that we have incorporated in there right now is to remove the roof structure, at least a portion of it, and rebuild it, and then resurface it.
Okay. So that would make it more useful for...
They use it right now. There's just a portion above the middle garage door that has had water infiltration. It has some rotting wood. So I think they've kind of piecemealed it a little bit to kind of keep it going the way that it is, but we in this we've incorporated actually fixing the problem.
Thanks.
Additional questions for? So I think the kind of understanding from where I'm hearing what you're saying there is, you know, council right now, just from my, you know, I mean, like, most of us were here during the task force presentation and the conversation around like the need, you know, to figure out what would this building be used for. I think there's still a lot of unknowns on, especially when it comes to the cost, that I think we would need those answers before anyone, like, I don't think anyone at the table right now is like, here's $5 million to Carlin, like, knock it out. I think there's a lot of those is like, what is, I don't know what feedback to give you right now, so I guess what I'm saying.
So in order for us to go out for a grant, we need this.
Okay.
And so we need to be able to say exactly what the cost would look like, what the design would look like.
Okay.
So now we have something that we can go out and say, okay, as part of our grant application, here's what it is.
Does anyone have any concerns with that from council? Vera?
Yeah.
Or comments?
I think my only concern or potential fear with this, because we know the grants are not going to cover all of it, and we don't know yet where the other piece of it comes from. And what I don't want to see is this building sitting empty and unused for a long period of time as we are trying to scramble together the funds for this. And so I think that's my main concern with it.
That's a valid concern. Yeah, because I don't get, I mean, in, do you have, I mean, we don't have any for sure ideas of the potential grants out there.
No, no.
Or do we?
There are a couple of grants that I think we've already started looking at right now. There are some opportunities for us to, well,
NAP credits.
There's NAP credits. There's been some conversations.
What's an acronym?
Neighborhood Assistance Program.
Yes,
thank you.
So there's some of those tax credits that we can apply for. There are grants that we know that the state has. We've actually had a conversation with the legislature who said they would try to get some funding, but that's before the state said they're not going to fund anything, so we don't know when that's going to occur. But no, it's all about kind of pulling these pieces together. And so the first step we needed was, what's it going to cost? And what's it going to look like? And what are some of the potential things we can do with it? So that we have. The next step is for us to actually start filling out grant applications and start looking through that process. We know there's going to be some fundraisers we have to do in our community, but part of that fundraising is also being able to show, here's what it is, here's what it's going to look like, and here's what we're planning for it. Yes, there will have to be additional conversations with the community about use, because I think everyone has an idea of what it should be and how it's going to be utilized. But the first step is we did have that task force that said, here's what our thoughts are, here's what it could look like. And so that kind of helps us kind of march through a process.
So I think maybe to Vera's point is maybe kind of just start the process for applying for the grants using the plan that you have in place, the schematic plan that you have in place. But then maybe we kind of schedule a date in which we get an update back on how we're doing. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't go too far out. And I guess the question is, what would be a realistic time frame that we think we could potentially have already started applying? It depends on the cycle of when the granting things are, but I don't know if we have any. I think maybe and that might be feedback you come back to us at like a council report.
Yes.
Like what would that look like to come on this? I think my other thing that I would be interested in is also reaching out to community partners to see if there's any sort of public-private partnership that somebody wants to come and maybe they're then utilizing the space as more of a long-term tenant or programmer, or just really open up the idea of like what options do we have for it that's not just us owning a really, it's not a large building, but for an office of two, it's probably a little bit big to Sarah Dresser. Like, you know.
We'll increase our numbers.
Right. But you know what I mean? It's thinking about that sort of what other things could we use so all square footage is utilized.
Right, and I think that's the idea. I mean, we know there's nonprofits that are looking for space. And so if you can go into long-term rents for those organizations, then that kind of gets you towards some of your financial numbers.
For those, and I'm sorry, Jen, would you mind going back to the second floor plans or like the floor plans? Does that then mean that potentially some of those spaces upstairs could be rented out?
Yes.
More than just the OCA one, but also, by somebody more consistently, like that's so-and-so's classroom that they rented out annually or something?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, Jackie. Betsy.
Thanks, DeCarl, and I'd check your microphone again myself because it's almost impossible to hear you at least where I'm sitting.
The battery's dead.
Over and above that, I think we need some idea of how much grant funding we need or how much the city's willing to put into it. I think this is a really good plan, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff hanging out.
Yeah, so if you...
And we can start with the grant, and hopefully, but I mean, we need $2 or $3 million, I would think, in grants. And are we really talking, is there a potential we could get that? Do we need a time frame, you know, that we should hear about this within a year, year and a half? How do we want to go out and market this to the nonprofit? I mean, it sounds really good, but it sounds good in like a filmy sort of soft way.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, right now we just got the plan on what potentially it's going to cost, what it could potentially look like. And so it is, if you go back to the very first slide where she kind of shows exactly the time frame.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
So right now we're still in this very preliminary project phase. And so that's the same thing with, you know, planning it. And so right now it is purely new. And so we have this concept. We have a cost of what it's going to cost. The next step is to actually start talking to people and start looking at what does that financing plan looks like. And so that needs to be built out. And so that's our next process, is we're going to build out a financing plan. We'll build out a utilization plan. But the first step is, what is this building and how is it going to be built out? And so that's where we're at now.
Okay, because then my question would be, I know everything is a process that has been pointed out to me. But, you know, are we talking in the next year we're going to be talking to people about this and we're going to look for grant funding that we should know about in a year? I mean, like, is there any time frame besides this looks like a great idea and it'd be nice to not have it unutilized for another 5 years? You know,
yeah,
it's very soft and squishy.
So we wanted to get your approval before we did anything. We've already met with the grants administrator in finance.
Okay.
Once we got council's thumbs up that this was a concept that they could agree on, then Sarah Dresser and Megan McConaughey from my office and myself were going to take the next steps. We want to start talking to people as soon as we can. We don't want to let it set. As I'm looking at my public works director back there, there's a lot going on with this building. We want to see if we can start working on it sooner than later instead of letting it set. So
yeah.
I don't have a time frame for you except for the fact that the next steps are Sarah and Megan and I to sit down and talk about who to go out to, who to talk to, look at more grants, and then we can come back to you. Give me a couple months.
I think like, yeah, 4 months or so.
Yeah, if you could give me that.
Say take six.
Six.
Take six.
If you bring it back in four, great.
This is we're learning as we go, but we promise to do a very good job for you.
I'm sure you'll do a very good job. It's just,
it's
just the squishiness of the whole thing.
Yeah, first step is, are we on the right track? Because if we were off, then
no point continuing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I think you're on the right track. I'm not sure exactly what we'll use it all for, but, you know.
All right, Jackie and then Nick. And then here.
So, come back 4 to 6 months. Is the structural integrity okay?
Well, I think that's kind of the monthly monitoring.
So, we've monitored 3 months total, and there's been no appreciable movement in the structure. So, we're working with Jim's structural engineer with Allstate Consultants. So to help save some costs, the city surveyors are going out and taking those measurements and then providing that information to the structural engineer. I think he's pretty comfortable with the setup that we have now. So we'll probably go to monitoring every quarter or something like that. That's kind of, and then when we get to about a year of monitoring, that's when I want to go back to the structural engineer and say, okay, it hasn't moved at all. Do I still have to have that area? Because I'm cording off some of the church's property that isn't the city property, but that happens to be the location of concern. So I owe it to the church to not take the name, their space anymore than I have to.
All right. And then Nick, and then Vera. No, you're Nick.
Oh, well, I heard then Nick. So. Who is going to be responsible for the financing of this work within the city structure? Who does that fall to?
Finance department?
Because this is a little different than a lot of the things that we do on a regular basis. Oh,
absolutely.
So it sounds like we'll be in a kind of a fundraising mode. And so that would come out of finance?
Yeah, the grant administrator is in the finance department. And so as we develop out a finance plan, that will be developed through the finance department. Keeping us on task with that will be also part of that process.
Our charitable foundation is also helpful. So.
Yes.
Charitable.
Our charitable.
Our nonprofit New Century Fund.
Yep.
All right, Vera.
So I like to at least take into consideration like worst case scenarios. So I wish I could find a piece of real wood in here to knock on. But if in 6 months you come back to us and the federal landscape has once again changed, the state landscape has gotten rid of all grant funding, just there's nothing available, we are not going to find grant funding, and this no longer feels feasible as a project, will that be a point at which we can say okay, we are going to change direction? Or at this point, are we saying this is an amount that we will spend regardless of grant funding we receive?
I would say it would be the first one.
Yeah, I think we're always flexible. So if you get to the point where you realize that you're not going to be able to raise the millions of dollars that are needed, then you kind of figure out, okay, what is another option? Is there a way that you can stabilize the building and still utilize it? And what does that utilization look like? It wouldn't allow for some of the public park that we want, but it could still be a space that we can utilize in some other way.
Yeah, and I say we don't know, right? And so I think I think it's good to be thinking that and to have these conversations, but I encourage all of us to also be reaching out to community members about like what would you want, you know what I mean? And like what would you see support looking like for this?
If I wasn't scared of that piece of equipment, I would be knocking on that wood there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
was that discussed at the task force? I guess alternative plans?
I doubt it.
No.
Really kind of going forward with the hopes that we can get this all figured out.
Yeah, the task force was really futuristic looking. Here's the building. If we could, aspirational, thank you. That's the better word. Aspirational, here's the building, here's what we would like to do with it, what would you like as a task force to see? But they did not do any fundraising, and obviously if we had to turn a corner and do something different, the task force would be brought together and to talk to.
And I really just encourage on that, like that's a group of, I forgot how many people we had on it, but like a good group to kind of help us with the community outreach.
Yeah, it was a huge group. I can say that if we are not able to take this forward in some resemblance of what the task force recommended, I'm going to have a lot of very, very disappointed citizens. And I know that we understand that with everything. Sometimes I worry about being aspirational ahead of time when we don't have a plan to complete that, because it feels like unfulfilled promises to people and people who served and spent their time there. I also know that the landscape in the past year changed considerably. I can't remember when we heard from the task force. It was early on in my time as a
December
city council person. Yeah. I hope that we identify funding and we don't have to worry about that.
Well, I think it sounds like we have a plan though to try and look at the funding and then have a sort of just more solid plan to come back and reevaluate it. So, and I would expect everybody on the task force knows that money doesn't grow on trees. So, you know, we have to be responsible and reasonable, I guess. So we'll hope for the best and go out and start talking it up, I guess. And see what the grant funding will show us.
I would be hopeful that if we were to pursue an alternative where we aren't able to have the program public space, that we would have it set up in such a way that under a different funding landscape in the future, those elements could easily be added.
I'm going to do one more question, and then we do have a number of things on our closed agenda. So, Don.
Really more of a comment. Like you said, now we have an idea as to what we want it to look like. We have an idea what it's going to cost. When you come back to us in 6 months or less and give us an update on the grants and private equity funding or private funding, whatever, I think we'll have a much better idea of where we go from there. You know, and because right now, okay, here's the idea, here's the next step, you know, find the funding, and then we can go forward from there. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so hopefully we'll look for a report back to us in October of 2026, which is this year. I don't know why I said the year. But October, 6 months from here, that kind of lays out kind of what we've heard, what we found, and the potential of next steps. So appreciate it. Thank you. All right, I'm now going to move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 181B of